Welcome to the Free Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Miles. The Free Lawyer Podcast is designed for the lawyer, entrepreneur, or professional who is in some way unfulfilled, stressed, or stuck, and is looking for something better. We will discuss various blocks that limit us from achieving the personal freedom that we all desire, but have not yet fully experienced. And we will give actionable steps to free yourself from them. Are you looking to achieve a new level of success? If so, this podcast is for you. Before we get started with our message today, I'm really excited to let you know I've now released my first book, Breaking Free, A Guide to Achieving Personal and Professional Freedom as a Lawyer. I'm dedicated to helping you find the success and freedom from stress and burnout in your practice. Breaking Free gives you the tools and actionable steps that allow you success and fulfillment in ways you never thought possible. You will see how to overcome the stress and overwhelm you feel and to achieve a life of freedom, joy, and success. I will leave a link in the show notes where you can purchase it. I hope you enjoy reading Breaking Free as much as I have enjoyed writing it. Now to the rest of our episode. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. I'm so excited to have with us today Misty Blagg. Misty is an attorney in North Carolina who concentrates in the area of healthcare, and she has a lot of fascinating things to share with us today. Misty, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, we survived Christmas. I have three kids, so that's always a wonderful thing, but, you know, a lot to get ready for.
Oh, it's a busy, busy time, isn't it? And Misty, I know law is sort of a second career to you. You worked in the medical field before the healthcare field, and you're a healthcare compliance investigator. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your journey from doing that to deciding to become a lawyer.
Well, gosh, I say I'm a second career attorney, but I'm probably more like a fourth career attorney. Yeah. Because I started out in healthcare as a dental hygienist and then moved on to be a healthcare compliance investigator. And really, I worked for a vendor in North Carolina, Medicaid. So we did a lot of more fraud investigation. So that engaged me in the legal system and piqued my interest. And, you know, one day I came home to my husband and said, I think I'm gonna go to law school. And we both agreed I was crazy, but I would do it anyway.
Very good. And why did you decide you wanted to become a lawyer?
I guess I wanted a career that I could work, you know, into later ages with, and that, you know, was a little bit more balanced, which you think crazy now that I chose law because it was more balanced. But when you look at being a clinician, is, you know, it's very hard to get time away from your schedule during the day. And, you know, kids, you want to go and see their events at school and do those things. So I felt like it would be more flexible in that respect.
You know, you have three children, a husband, a family, and a challenging position. How do you balance all that? How do you balance the challenges of your job with your family and your other interests?
You know, there was a time I wasn't very good at that, and it caused a healthcare crisis for me. I was having all kinds of symptoms. I remember a doctor sitting me down because I was having all these crazy symptoms. And luckily, she was a mom of several children. And she said, Misty, this is stress. You've got to do better with yourself. And that was like a light bulb for me. And then I worked towards being just more mindful about taking time for me. It felt selfish, right? Being a mom, you're always giving. But I realized that if I was not healthy, then I couldn't give to my family. So I take that selfish time. I do different things. And I just prioritize it. It's mindful. It's intentional. Sometimes I'm better at it than others, but it takes that intentionality.
I think intentionality with their time is so important. So many of us always think we don't have enough time. We don't have enough time. But I think the better way to think of it is we have 24 hours in a day, and we can choose to use that time how we want. We can choose to take 15 minutes in the morning to walk our dog or have breakfast with our kids and share what's going on. How we use that time is up to us, and we can use it with good purpose. For the lawyers who are struggling to find the balance that you've managed to achieve, what suggestions do you have about a good way to manage that stress and find balance between a challenging legal career and a robust family life as well?
Well, you know, I think, you know, when we think about meditation, right, we think about the traditional, you know, sitting there, you know, but I think really meditation is about finding an activity that you can lose yourself in. And if you can find one of those things and spend, you know, 30 minutes a day doing it, you can really settle your mind. And for me, it's several different things. It's gardening. I love to garden. It's golfing. I love to golf. When I'm out there on the golf course, all I'm thinking about is golf. I'm not thinking about the fact I have, you know, three kids to take care of. I got to buy a car for them one day. I got to put them through college. I've got work. I'm just thinking about my next shot. And for that's really the essence of meditation.
Yeah. I'm an avid golfer, as you may or may not know. I've been playing forever. And one of my golf pros said it's one of the greatest way to relieve stress, which is kind of a strange thing because golf can be very stressful. You hit a ball in the woods, But he said it's the only sport where you have to have such singular focus on what you're doing on the golf course and controlling your mind that you can't be thinking about work, having to buy a kid a car and enjoy a round of golf. You really have to learn to train your mind to be, you know, in the moment. I know you have a podcast called The Zealous Advocate. Tell me about that podcast and why you do it and what you bring to your audience.
Well, it's been just such a fun project for me. You know, when we set about, we wanted a little bit different style. We have my other colleagues in the firm. It's very conversational. It's a video podcast. We bring on a guest, and it's all things advocacy. You know, first of all, we just talk about similar things to you, that lawyers are humans. And as humans, we have to find balance and we have to think about mental health. But we also talk about all the different tools a lawyer can have in their tool bag, right? That we use consultants, we think about technology and all those things that encompass. I really think it's a great podcast, especially for law students, because you're getting exposed to so many different facets of the legal profession.
And Zealous Advocate, you know, we all use that term, particularly for those of us who are litigators or transactional. What does that mean to you and how does it guide your practice of law, being a zealous advocate?
Yeah, absolutely. It means using everything in my toolbox, right? All these skills that we learn. Sometimes we're having to go find new skills, but doing it within the ethical and moral boundaries that we should have practicing in this profession. And I really, you know, that part for me is super important.
In your experience, Misty, I know for you, maintaining your balance is so important. What are some of the major mindset obstacles that lawyers face in the practice of law? And how have you learned to overcome or manage them?
Yeah, I think one of it is self-doubt. You know, and I'm a big believer in reframing your thoughts. You know, it takes training to get rid of that self-doubt. So instead of saying in your mind, you know, I've never done this before, you say, but I can learn this. It's figure outable, right? So I've had to take a journey on that myself, especially making the huge pivot I made from being in a big law firm where, you know, we're talking about 100 other healthcare attorneys to turn to get advice, to go into a smaller firm and starting a healthcare practice. I had to really grapple with that and overcome it.
You know, I've gone through the same thing. I started this podcast just about 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago now. And I question myself, who's going to listen to an old guy running his mouth on a podcast? Podcasts are for younger people. And someone helped me reframe that to say, well, you've been practicing 45 years. You have 45 years of experience and stories and wisdom to share. And someone who's been practicing 8 years, who's 32, only has 8 years of experience to share. So that's a way we can kind of reframe our thoughts. Tell us a little bit about what you do and share with us, you know, what's a success story? What's a result you're really happy with in how you've helped a client or healthcare organization?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I work with healthcare providers and healthcare companies. I've spent my whole life in healthcare. So I feel like, you know, I really have a good knowledge base of the business of healthcare, which is tough. It's an overregulated industry, you know, of just people wanting to do really the right thing. I think in general, doctors just want to do the right thing. So I had, I guess my one of my first big cases I worked on was a tough one. It was a younger lady that owned, two healthcare facilities. She was young. She perhaps didn't plan enough, because when you're young, you do, right? You just go do. And she was facing two licensing actions that would potentially shut two of her facilities. So I was able to get in there and at least preserve the license of one facility, get her in a better place to continue to grow, and then she'd have an opportunity in a shorter time period to get her license back for the second facility. It's tough facing regulatory agencies. And I was really proud of that result, even though it wasn't, it's never, how it is, Gary. It's never everything that, they want, but I felt like it was a really good result.
Must have been so fulfilling to really help her. And I imagine she was suffering extreme anxiety and stress worrying about it. And for you to guide her through to that successful result must have been so fulfilling.
Yeah, it really felt good to me because that was the first real case that I said, I can do this. This is something I'm good at. I've talked to people my whole career. I've dealt with healthcare my whole career. This is, I can lean into it.
Awesome. So many of us struggle with stress and getting burned out. And you've been in a big firm, you're now in a smaller firm, there are different pressures in each. But how do you manage the stress and avoid getting burned out yourself, in addition to having three children at home that you're raising?
Yeah, I think you have to set boundaries, really, and you have to be very careful. And this is something I'm not always good at, but I'm trying to be better, is learning how to say no, right? And not taking on, too many things in any one year. That's really key to me. And my guiding light here is I have to know my why. Why am I here? Why am I doing this? And that's sort of what guided me out of a big firm to this smaller firm where I could grow.
And what is your why, Misty? What's
Yeah.
the why that motivates you?
My why has been helping people my whole life, whether I'm do did it as a clinician in healthcare, whether I'm doing it as an attorney. And I can do that in a smaller firm. And perhaps I can help those people that need it most in a smaller firm because, you're rate challenged when you're in a large firm. You're really going after more of those, very large organizations.
That's well said. I think it's so important to align what we do with our values and with our goals. I think too many of us take a job and we're working in it and we want to get the job with the most money. It may not be what we want to do. We may not have enough independence or autonomy or freedom or
Right.
ability to grow our own practice. And I compliment you for thinking about what was important to you and making a purposeful choice of what you're going to do to find that fulfillment, because it's one thing to be a lawyer and process our papers and get the transaction done or even win the case. But our true happiness, I think, comes from finding fulfillment in helping others.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't, kind of what made me start getting there with it in my head is I didn't do a second career for this. I burned out of a first career and I was ready to do something new. So I'm really careful about those decisions and, making me happy.
Very good. I like to think of myself as a professional problem solver. I don't like to think of myself as a litigator. I like to think of myself as helping my clients solve their problems. What do you think is the best strategy or methodology you use as a lawyer to help solve your clients' problems? What are the keys you think for a lawyer to be a good problem solver?
I think first you have to be a good listener. You have to really understand what their problems are because what they're saying to you may not be really what the base problem is. So, we got to take the time to figure that out. There was no better training for that than being a dental hygienist for years, is that you really have to first make people feel comfortable and then they can really start to share. And then I think you just have to be. You have to be willing to make a lot of telephone calls. Sometimes it takes a while to solve that problem, but you're bringing people together, decision makers, and trying to get a solution that fits for everyone in those complex situations.
Being a good listener is so important. And it's, I wouldn't say a lost skill, that might be too strong, but a lot of lawyers aren't good listeners. And my nature is not to be a good listener either. I think of my wife, who's a director of nursing, and she comes home from work and she's stressed and overwhelmed and wants to share her experiences during the day. And I should be a good listener, but I too quickly switch into problem solving mode. And I start telling her what she should do differently next time to avoid that stress. And that's not the right answer. The right answer is to be a good listener. And I think sometimes we're so anxious to solve our clients' problems, answer their questions, that we jump to that without really listening compassionately to them. And I know I found lawyers, I think of one personal injury case I had, where the lawyer was pestering me for what's your client's position. I said, we're investigating it. I'll get back to you when we finish. I had to talk to witnesses, et cetera, see the scene, et cetera. And I called him back and said, ready to share our position. And I got about four words into what I was saying, which wasn't something he wanted to hear. Our position wasn't what he wanted to hear. And he interrupted me. And I waited. He finished. I said, are you finished? He said, yes. I said, well, let me finish what I was saying. I started again and he interrupted me. I said, listen, if you want to hear what my position is, then please listen. I know what your position is. You've been telling me that, but it's second nature for us lawyers to want to talk and not listen. And that's such an important skill. And I appreciate your highlighting that.
Yeah, absolutely. But in the same token, in a larger firm, it was somewhat of a challenge because you know, me having had a healthcare background and developing those listening skills, you were full of lawyers that talk. So it was hard to get that moment. And I had to learn to be just a little bit more aggressive in those sorts of situations.
You've worked in both a big firm and a small firm, and you had a very good experience in the bigger firm. What are the benefits and drawbacks of each, and what were your experiences?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question because you hear a lot of people bashing large law firms, right? You know, after they get out. I think I always say to my kids, life is about choices, right? So you have to choose what you want. In a bigger firm, you really get the opportunity to get some great training on business development. You're working with really, you know, some great attorneys who have dealt with huge deals, things you don't get to see in smaller firms a lot. So I think I've got a really good training from that. The negative is you're working your life away, which may make sense if you're young. You know, when you're young, you don't have children, you're not married. That may make sense for you. A smaller firm, I feel like I have freedom to fail. You know, I can spread my wings. That doesn't mean I want to fail, but there's freedom to take on different things. You know, the negatives, you may not have quite as many resources. You're going to have to, you know, like I have to call a lot of people a lot of times to get, if I have a question, can't quite figure out. I've had to develop those mentors that are outside of my firm. That can be more challenging. And I think, you know, one of the things a lot of people have a hard time giving up moving, you know, from a big firm to a small firm is that prestige. You know, there's certain this prestige you have when you can say, well, I work for blah, 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 you know, and you don't get that maybe in your local community, but not in a national audience when you're a little bit smaller firm. So you have to give that up. That's one of the negative things about a smaller firm.
And you've chosen to be in the firm where you are now, and it suits with your values. How is that the right choice for you?
Right, because I get to really know my colleagues. The firm supports work-life balance, right? There's freedom to take on a variety of tasks, so which was really important for me. And I think we do a good job of staying with our moral and ethical compass, which was very important for me.
Misty, there are a lot of young lawyers who'll be listening to you today who would like to have the success and freedom and happiness you found as a lawyer. What suggestions do you have for them as they're trying to figure out what they're doing and where they should be as to how to best figure out what the best course is for them?
I think you know, people tell you not to plan your life out, right? Because you never know what life's going to throw at you. And to a certain respect, I think that's true. But I believe that you need to write down your life goals. Like, where do you see your life? And try to figure out which path is going to work for you. Don't do it solely for the money. I know we all got law school loans, right? We have to pay off, but you're going to make your money, especially if you're starting this career when you're young. I didn't start till my early 40s, you know? The money is going to come. You know that, Gary, right? You start, you know, you may not be making the most money in the world, but it will come. So try to think about more reasons than just the money.
Yeah, the money is important, but I think we always make enough money to be comfortable. The question is, what do we really want to do? Who do we want to serve, and how do we want to serve them? And what makes us feel fulfilled? You know, how important is
Right.
that time with our family versus time working? I read a great book called Everyday Legacy, and he was the author was on my podcast, and he actually was in the funeral industry, and it was what he learned from that is everyone should think about how do we want to be remembered when we're not here? Do we want to be remembered as a highly successful attorney who was never there for his or her family because they worked Saturdays and Sundays and made a lot of money? Or is it something else? And how do we want to be remembered can be a helpful question to ask when we're choosing what we want to do, you know, what we want to do next. You've had a different career than some, having worked, this is your second, third, or fourth career. I don't know how to count. Is there anything about your life that you would change if you could? And if so, what? And if not, why not?
I think I wish I was just thinking about this other day. I wish I had found the law just a little bit earlier in my career. I think I am a good lawyer because of my past experiences, especially in healthcare. But I wish I would have gotten there a little bit sooner because I really am enjoying what I'm doing now. I really love coming to work each day. It's very intellectually challenging with it, which is one of the aspects I really enjoy about it.
Well, the joy you have of being a lawyer is really, really wonderful. Misty, I call this podcast The Free Lawyer because it's all about how can we find personal freedom in a practice of law that's pretty challenging. What does true personal freedom mean to you, Misty?
It really means flexibility in my schedule and the freedom to fail, like I said earlier, the freedom, because I believe that you're not truly growing unless you're approaching failure. And so I can grow as an attorney in this environment.
So that's such an interesting concept because so many lawyers, so many of us, I was a perfectionist. Failure was like a terrible, terrible thing. But I've learned now that I learn more from my setbacks and my failures than I do from my victories. You know, that's where we really learn and grow the most. So tell me a little bit about the fear of failure and your willingness to fail to grow. Because a lot of folks aren't used to thinking that way, that they can grow from their failures.
I think that's one of the great things parenting gives you, right? Is that there's no better lesson for your child than they go against what you say, they go out there and screw something up, and then they never do that again, right? And they have to come to you and tell you about it. I think it's scary, right? We're all scared of failure. That's a natural thing. But there are so few things that you can fail at that will be catastrophic when we think about the law. And I needed to hear that. I've heard that from other lawyers is that, look, as long as you fess up to whatever happened, right away, as long as you understand whatever you made was a mistake and a failure, we can fix it. We can, take care of it. There's lots of different mechanisms to do that. So when you have that support around you telling you that, knowing that you can go to somebody and say, "Oh my God, I messed this up. How do I fix it?" That's what really lets you be okay with failure is the support that you have around you.
Well, it's wonderful that you work in such a supportive firm that instead of second guessing or Monday morning quarterbacking, they're supporting you and looking at what can you learn from, you know, what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very thankful. There's high standards, but I think one of my colleagues, Kevin Littlejohn, said it best. As long as the work effort is there, as long as you have put in the effort to be knowledgeable, to do everything you need to do, nobody's going to sit there and hold it over your head the rest of your career. They're going to support you and help you and say, "Okay, well, let's work on this. Let's figure out how we can make this better."
Fantastic. Misty, for those who listen to you today who'd like to learn more about you or to listen to the Zealous Advocate, how can they best find you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find the Zealous Advocate on Spotify, or anywhere else you find your podcast. You can find me at Shipman and Wright LLP, and I'm also very active on LinkedIn. Please follow me, and I like to talk about all things, not just lost stuff, right? Just being a good human. That's what I said. I'm here on earth to be a good human and teach my kids to be a good human and mentor other people to do the same.
Well, that's just a wonderful way to look at what we do. And such a grounded life experience has so much value. Misty, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Gary. It's been great to chat with you, and I've got to come play golf with you in Pinehurst.
Oh, we got to do that. That's something I'm always happy to do. So let's make that a date. And thank you all for listening to us today. As always, please be well, be safe, and be free.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Free Lawyer Podcast. Wherever you are listening, if you enjoyed what I shared, please leave me a rating and review. I would appreciate hearing more about what you like best and what topics you might like me to cover in future episodes. If you are interested in experiencing a more fulfilling and a more successful life, please contact me at www.garymiles.net, where you can schedule a free discovery call with me so I can learn more about you, your challenges, and your dreams. I appreciate each and every one of you, and have a great rest of your day. Thanks to all of you for your support.